Testament lesson this morning comes to us from the first chapter of Paul's epistle to the Colossians. I'll talk more about this in the sermon, but this is one of the most Christologically rich sections of the New Testament. Paul is leading the Colossian church here to consider seriously what it means that Jesus is who he is. So from Colossians 1, beginning at the 13th verse, "For he," that is the Lord Jesus, "has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body in his sight, physical body through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moving from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard, and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This month, we're once again being intentional in our approach to Christmas. Now, if you think about it, it makes sense to be intentional as you approach Christmas. You don't want to leave everything to the last minute or do all your thinking about Jesus on Christmas Eve. My grandmother, for example, used to have a great sense of occasion. And holidays were fun at her house because she went way out of her way to make sure that the various days that we celebrated really were honored in our lives. Now, the particular themes were always, a part of Christmas, Easter, graduations, and the 4th of July. The point through all of it, she would always run the children through the meaning of all the various occasions. At Christmas, we'd be asked about Christmas. At Easter, we'd be asked about Easter. At graduation, we'd be asked about graduation. And the decorations, we'd have a hand in setting up. The decorations were always there. That's how she built the occasion. We had to know, for example, on the 4th of July about Betsy Ross and the flag. We had to know about the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus, because those were the truths that were the ground and the cause of our family celebrations. If you didn't understand Jesus, you didn't understand why we were together. And we tell people, for example, that we're celebrating, now imagine, right, it becomes your birthday, and we tell people that we are celebrating their birthday, right? We train children from a very early age to know it's their birthday. We're celebrating their birthday. Now, imagine how confused you would be, right, if there just happens to be a party every year on the same day, right, and nobody tells you why. You'd be really confused. we've gone out of our way to be clear this month about how the Old Testament points forward to the Lord Jesus Christ as its fulfillment. We've also spent some time looking at the ways in which the gospel records the birth of the Messiah. These are important topics, and they deserve to be repeated extensively, which is why the Christian life is so full. The point is that the coming of the Messiah was not a surprise. Like birthdays, we knew to look for it. We long expected the coming of the Messiah. And likewise, the Christ was born in Bethlehem, and God continues in him to fulfill all of his promises to his people, to fulfill all of his promises to those who look to Christ as the fulfillment of those promises. And so today, then, we're turning our attention to the Bible's reflection on the meaning of the person and work of Jesus Christ. We've understood the fact that we need to look for him. We've understood the fact that he's come. Now we need to understand it. It's one thing to know what a birthday is. It's another thing to know it's not. A great deal of the epistles, all the epistles, is given over to understanding who Christ is and what and how he has done great things for us. We're called Christians not simply because we too are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, therefore anointed, but because we too learn about the glories and beauties of Christ. We too learn about his saving power. In this morning's passage from Colossians, Paul is pointing us in some very helpful direction. Paul did not start, you see, the Colossian church. Paul was in prison while he was writing this letter. He's heard a report on the state of the church in Colossae, and so he is writing the letter to strengthen and encourage their faith. There are two issues at the center of this letter, and they're interrelated. The first is that the church is under a great deal of cultural pressure to compromise on its understanding of who Jesus is. And I'm not talking about today, I'm talking about Colossae. The claims that Jesus is the Christ, or that God became flesh in the womb of the Virgin, are simply unbelievable in the wider culture. So there's pressure. The second issue is that the Colossians did not seem to be as ardent in their zeal for Christ as they could be. Almost as if they're embarrassed by the pagan view of their Savior. And so what Paul does is encourage greater devotion to Jesus. Notice carefully the way that Paul does this is to get the Colossians to focus their attention Jesus Christ. Want to have greater devotion to Jesus? Pay more attention to who he is. He's just prayed that they might gain wisdom and understanding. He establishes wisdom and understanding are present in their lives by pointing them to the presence of Jesus Christ. And so just as Christmas does, Paul is pointing us to Jesus as the source of perseverance and wisdom and understanding in our lives. And these verses are some of the most Christologically rich in the entire New Testament. Here, in short compass, is just a glimpse of the full majesty and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. At Christmas time, we're tempted to think of a wee baby. Paul points us to the one through whom all things are made, the one in whom all things cohere, and the one in whom all of God's people find salvation from their sins. Redemption is the name of Christ alone, because he alone has made peace with God through the blood of his cross. In the first half of the passage, Paul extols Jesus as the Creator God, who in himself is the source and the goal of all creation. In the second half of the passage, Paul highlights the fact that Jesus Christ is the only Redeemer of God's elect, the only one responsible for the new creation in our lives, the only one responsible for the new creation of his people, the church. The point is relatively simple, if it sounds complex in Scripture. If you want to be stable and steadfast in the world, if you don't want to be blown around by every crazy wind, crackpot idea, or bad news story, then you must have a firm grip on the truth of Jesus Christ. Which means, if you want to stand firm in the faith, then you must have a very clear understanding of Christmas. And a very clear understanding of just whom you are seeing wrapped in swaddling cloths. Take Colossians. Here is the exact image of the invisible God. Here in a manger is the eternal Son of God, who has all the rights and privileges of the firstborn Son, of the one true monarch of the universe. It looks like a stable when we see it. But it is the most important birth in all of human history. More than that, in approaching Christmas time, it's vital to remember the work of Christ. Born as one of us, he is God with us. Ascended on high, seated at the right hand of the Father, Lord Jesus is present to us now by the power of his Holy Spirit. On Christmas Day, when we gather, small or large, to remember a birth, and on that day when we remember an agonizing death. But what we celebrate most on Christmas Day is the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day. Christ was born and died to free us from our sins and raised to new life. He has been vindicated and now calls us out of darkness into glorious light. So now Christ is present in our lives in order to present us holy and blameless to his Father. We were recently reminded, indeed at the end of November, that the only way to be happy is to be holy. The Lord Jesus Christ came to make us holy, and in making us holy, he makes us happy. Christmas is not simply a birthday party. It is a glorious reason, once again, to celebrate the redemption won for us by our faithful and loving Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and glory, now and evermore. Amen. Our Lord Christ has commanded us to take all things to him in prayer.